Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of God here today? Okay, maybe like 25 of you are glad. All right, let's try it again. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Yes, amen. Well, it's so good to see everybody. Of course, I got to greet everybody on the outside. I now have a chance to see you, and thank you for being here today. We know that God's got a good plan for our lives. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we are going to read the first 6 verses here in just a few moments. But today I'm going to call this message, Stay the Course. Stay the Course. Folks, of course, we all know that the eyes of the world this past week have been upon the presidential election of our nation. Of course, it was different. Of course, you know, it wasn't settled right away. There is still ongoing things. You know, there's been very strong reactions on both sides. You know, people in the church, not just this church, but Christians across America and across the world, they have lots of questions. Some don't understand what's happening. Some are very disappointed. Some are feeling extremely discouraged, all these things. But I tell you, the world's eyes might be upon the election, but the eyes of the Lord are upon the church. And the Lord's eyes are upon the church to see how we are going to react. Folks, of course, and if you're here today, and maybe you're newer, or maybe you're a newer believer, and you might not be aware of some things, please know this, that overwhelmingly in our nation, the evangelical body of Christ has supported President Donald Trump. Okay, we know even the first election, he won, you know, over 80% of the evangelical vote. We know that this time around it was even higher, like 85% or above. And we know that there's a lot of Christians, you know, who have believed, who have felt that Donald Trump was put in the presidency for a time and a purpose by God. And so there's a lot of folks right now feeling, you know, wondering what's going on. You know, they're feeling discouraged. They're feeling, you know, they're just really confused over the plan of God, but we need not be confused because we've got answers before anything ever showed up, amen? And folks, just so you know, we're not here to ever promote, you know, political principles. We don't support political parties. We don't endorse political candidates. We don't give money. I personally never support political campaigns or anything like that. You have to know and understand that we as the church, and I don't mean just family church, but born-again believers, we are first and foremost Christians. And we need to look at things as believers instead of voters. Because we have a job to do for God according to His Word, regardless of our political preferences. All right, so we're going to get some answers here today. Praise the Lord. Let's make sure that if something happened in our society that you don't like or you feel that's bad news, you know, we have to make sure that we don't allow panic or frenzy or worry or stress or disappointment to get a hold of our lives. Folks, we can go ahead and be encouraged because our God is not an elected official. Jesus Christ is not a president. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is not going anywhere. And folks, if you feel like your guy didn't win, well, just, you know, you feel like, you know, your guy is not the choice, or your guy, or whatever it is that you're feeling, just know this, that you're in a strong local church. You're in a local church that loves you. You have a church family that loves you. God's got a plan for our lives, and we've got a job to do for our nation, and we're going to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the sea of instability and chaos that is taking place in our nation right now, we have the ultimate opportunity to be the example of extreme stability. Folks, our nation needs the church more now than ever before. The world needs to look and find people who are not worried, who are not dismayed, people that are walking in stability. Amen. We should be the ultimate billboard for Jesus Christ that we don't panic. We're not worried. Amen. We're here to be a supply. We're here to be a prayer supply for our nation and for whoever resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. Whether it was your choice or not, we are set as the church to pray for our nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's be the ultimate example of stability. We have an opportunity to show our maturity and our faith. We have the opportunity to be unshaken and unmoved, right? And when you hear us, you know, say this around here, we know 007, right? He likes it what? Shaken, not stirred. But we are Christians, all right? We don't drink martinis, but we are stirred, not shaken. Amen. We're stirred up for the things of God. We're stirred up in our faith. Amen. This is the reason why Christ, his very name, is called the chief cornerstone. This is why Jesus is called the rock. This is why he's called the anchor of our souls. He is called the firm foundation. Because his very name and his nature is unshakable. It is unmovable. And we are his body. We are supposed to be like him. We are still sitting on the throne with Christ here today. We are those that are fearless. We are those that are bold. We are those that pray for our nation even when things happen that we don't like. We are here not to get our political preference, but we're to look at our nation through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of a believer and not just a voter. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. The church needs to show this kind of stability in front of the whole world right now. Amen. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we are going to read the first six verses. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and then the first thing I'm going to do here today is I'm going to answer three questions. The questions that I've most been asked this week during the presidential election chaos and mess in our nation. And folks, again, anything I might say that might have political connotations, please know this, that I am not here to get you to follow my political beliefs. If you voted for the guy who won, or if you voted for the guy who lost, if you voted for, you know, someone else, whatever, I don't personally care. My job as a pastor is to teach biblical principles, to give us a chance to know our living God and to obey him and to please him. Yes, we should cast our vote for those who will make policies that will be more closely related to the principles of God's word. There is no perfect candidate. There is no perfect personality in political office, but we should choose those that are going to defend unborn human life. Because Jesus said, if you cannot receive a little one in my name, you cannot receive me. So if we want to receive Christ in our nation, we better pray as a church that this nation stops killing unborn human life. We should vote for those that promote freedom, those that promote law and order, those that would allow you to hold on to more of the money that you have earned. We should allow, you know, we should vote for those that would be more closely aligned to the Word of God. And not any of them are perfectly aligned with the Word of God. And it's not based on their personality. We vote according to their policies. All right. And so notice anything that I'm going to say here today, if you disagree with me politically, just know this, that here at Family Church, it's very rare that we even talk about political things. But because the Christian church, not just this one, but across America has been so much in upheaval this week, it's time that we get into the Word and make sure that our feet are planted on solid ground and that we aren't found worried or dismayed, all right? So let's read this passage, and we're going to see our relationship as believers. What is our relationship to political power? Now, your relationship to political power as a believer is not the same as your relationship to political power as a voter. Stop looking at it through the eyes of your preference. start looking at it as your instructions from heaven and what to do with political power. It says in verse 1, Paul writing to Timothy the pastor. You know that Timothy was a pastor of the church. And Paul the apostle is giving instructions of what pastors should do in their local church. All right. And of course, the answer is not we don't campaign for political purposes. We don't campaign for political candidates. We don't stand here and say things. Now, today as I preach, you might learn who I voted for. All right. And you know, probably sitting there right now, you probably have a 99.9% idea of who I voted for. You know what? I'll just give you a little hint. It rhymes with Trump. And if you're sitting here, you're thinking, oh my goodness, he voted for that man. I can't believe it. Well, let's be friends. Listen, see, as the church, we're going to love you regardless of our disagreements. See, that's what leftists and socialists do. They hate you for your political choices. We won't be like that. If you voted for the other guy, listen, all right, we're not here to, and again, I'm approaching this as a pastor and as a believer, not as a voter. So when you see that, and listen, you know if you've been here long enough, I've been vocally critical of some things that our president has said. Because let's face it, he has said some really stupid things. All right? And I'll be honest, his personality at times just downright disgusts me. But the policy is what I'm looking for as a believer. I'm not looking at it through the eyes of a voter. I should look at it through the eyes of a believer. All right? And so this is the instructions to the local church when it comes to political power. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, everyone say, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, what is he talking about? Look at verse 2. He says, for kings. Now, we don't have kings in our nation. Well, at least we're not supposed to. Someone send a memo to the No, never mind. For kings and for all that are in authority, and that's talking about political or civic authority. He's saying, first of all, the local church should offer prayers, supplications, intercessions, and the giving of thanks for those that are in civic authority. So notice what he's talking about. So that we may lead, what's the purpose of the church praying for political leaders? That we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Notice what God wants for our society. He wants a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we're going to come back to these. We'll comment on some things here in just a moment. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good in the sight of God? Praying for civic authority, even the civic authority you disagree with. We're going to talk about that here in just a few moments. All right, and also a quiet and peaceable society is acceptable and pleasant in the eyes of God. God does not want our nation ripped apart. He does not want us hating the fellow man because they voted different. My goodness, growing up, I mean, you know, I remember a day you could just disagree with something like, okay, I see it this way. Okay, I'm voting for this. You're voting for someone different. Okay, who cares? Let's go about our business. And now it's getting so personal. So emotional that people are hating one another, that hate will destroy our nation faster than anybody who is in that White House. It's not about that guy in the White House. It's about the hate and the division that is being stirred in our nation. And church, don't you dare fall into that hate trap. Don't you fall into the hate trap. Verse 4, he says, this is God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. How many of you are glad for Christ our Savior? All right. Here's the thing I want to just mention real quick before I start answering these questions. All right, notice this. The number one purpose of the church in its relationship to political power is not to have our preferences. It is not to have our political opinions. The number one role of the church is to be a prayer supply for those that are in civic authority. You know, if you've ever read Romans chapter 13, it is the most detailed passage of Scripture for how Christians should approach civic authority and even evil civic authority. Here they were in Rome. Here they were being persecuted by, you know, the Roman Caesar. They were hated, and of course Caesar wanted them dead because they would not say Caesar is God. They said Jesus is God. All right? And Paul still told them to remain in honor and respect for the civic authority. Because, folks, there is something worse than bad government, and that's no government. We do not want anarchy. We do not want our nation to be torn apart, all right? And so we see that the church has the responsibility to supplicate for those that are in civic authority. The word supplicate means to make personal requests on their behalf. Folks, we know that just yesterday, you know, every major, you know, news outlet has named Joe Biden as our next president, all right? And we also know that our current president is launching a whole bunch of legal lawsuits in these states, and things could get really messy over the next few weeks. There's a lot of people that think they have no idea who's going to be standing at that podium on January 20th at the next inauguration. I don't know who's going to be standing there, all right? That's not my priority as a pastor. My priority as a pastor is to teach you to pray for both men. Because both of these men, Donald J. Trump and Joe Biden, are going to face some of the heaviest temptations in their life to do things that would hurt and destroy our nation, or to rip a gaping hole into the fabric of our society. We've got to pray for them. We've got to supplicate for them, even ones that you don't like. Personally request, you know, Father, I ask you to protect our president. I ask you to protect, if our president-elect, protect him. Father, I pray that you would give him wisdom. Father, I pray that he would make decisions that would help and bless this nation. Father, I pray that they would make decisions that would promote personal liberty and freedom, that they better defend our First Amendment. And you know what? They should defend the second one too. And they better make decisions that would help and benefit our nation. And we do not pray against somebody just because we disagree with them. Listen, if Joe Biden's the next president and he's somebody I didn't vote for, guess what? I'm going to be an ally to him in prayer. I tell you what, he doesn't know it, but I'll be his best friend in prayer. Listen, I seriously disagreed with President Barack Obama. But I tell you what, I prayed for him more than any president, including the current one, than I've ever prayed for before. You know, we don't just sit there and just pick and choose. We are not vengeful. We are not spiteful. If this happened outside of God's will, the cry of the church isn't for vengeance. The cry of the church is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, I ask you to forgive our president, or I ask you to be merciful to our president-elect. Also, the Bible says that we are to intercede for those that are in civic authority. The word intercession means that is that you step in front of harm that could be trying to come to them. Father, I pray that no harm would come to our president-elect. Father God, I pray that no harm would come to our current president. Listen, I don't know who that person is going to be. You know, they say that there is legal battles. They say that there's going to be this and that, and things could be overturned, or some are saying there's no proof of any, you know, wrongdoing. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. I don't know who's going to be given the oath of office on January 20th. But all I know that whoever it is, they will have an ally in this church. Not an ally of political agreement, not necessarily an ally of political preference, but they will have a supply of prayer, that they will make the right decisions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Stop looking at this selfishly as a voter. Start looking at it graciously as a believer. Amen. Our relationship to political power is to be a prayer supply, whether we agree or not. Go down to verse 4. What's it about? What if the church doesn't pray for civic leadership? It says, God who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice the harvest of lost souls is connected to the church being a supply to those that are in civic authority. If we don't pray for our president and every senator and every congressman and woman, folks, there are some people in Congress that I naturally could have no time for. But because of their position of civic authority, I have a responsibility to pray that they would be led with wisdom and righteousness, that they would be protected and safe, all right? Because you know why? Lost souls are connected to their decisions. And if the church does not pray for those in civic authority, if we just look at it as through the eyes of a disgruntled voter, then what you're going to be doing, you will be deceived, and lost souls will go to hell because we did not bring a prayer supply, because we were personally disenchanted with who won the election. Don't you allow your political preference and your political selfishness to hurt and harm the harvest. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you say, I just can't handle it, I can't stand it, I just can't accept this, I'm not doing that, I'm not living under that, bro. Let's rebel and let's fight and everything. Well, then you are against the plan and the will of God, because his plan and his will is for a quiet and peaceable society, regardless of whoever is in office. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes my natural preference, it hates to pray for those that I disagree with. But see, that's the heart of Christ. He said, love your enemies. Do good unto those that you don't like. Bless them. If you want to be a fighter and you want to be a political zealot and you want to rage and fight and, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do it at all costs. Not at all costs. Because if it costs us our quiet and peaceable society, we've lost the will of God. You got to know and understand it. Stop looking at things through the eyes of a disgruntled voter. Look through the eyes of Christ, the heart of Christ, and as a gracious believer. Praise the Lord. See, like I said, that's what leftists do. They hate and they war and they riot and they fight when they don't get their way. Don't you dare spend years complaining about them, and then when you don't get your way, you act just like them. Don't be that Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't sit there and act like, you know, what you have always despised. Don't be a hypocrite like that. Who will have all men? So what is our connection to political power? Praying for those in civic authority. Why? For the sake of lost souls. Don't get deceived by getting politically selfish. See, stay the course. Stay the course. If your guy doesn't win, guess what? The assignment to the church is still the same. He didn't say go out and campaign for him. He said don't go out there and rally for him. He said go out there and pray for him. Listen, there's going to be times you got to pray for someone you don't like. Remember when you were a kid and you had to eat something that you didn't like? You had to eat your vegetables. You had to eat those Brussels sprouts. Remember, you'd plug your nose. I'll be honest. There were times praying for political people that I had to plug my nose and pray for them. You might feel this way about this election result. But listen, don't seek to pursue election results. Seek to change your own character. Grow in this. Mature in this. Be the right thing. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So now I want to answer some questions that I received this week, because several were asking the same thing. So I said, this must be on the hearts of believers. Let's just handle it God's way. All right. Are you ready? Question number one. People have asked me, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? I'll tell you what's going to happen now. The same thing that was happening before. What's going to happen now is that we're going to be the church. We're going to praise. We're going to worship. We're going to serve. We're going to give. We're going to pray. Amen. we are going to be the church. We're going to be faithful, and we're going to pray for both of these guys. We're going to be faithful to God. We're going to walk in love. We're going to stay patient. We're going to refuse to hate our fellow man because of our political idea. We're not going to fight and hate others. Stay out of that hate trap. Amen. We're going to make changes to our own character, to our own integrity. Hallelujah. We're going to love God. Listen, you want to be a blessing to your nation right now? You want to serve and do the best you can? Be the most faithful Christian that you know how to be. Because the way the church goes is the way our nation goes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what's going to happen now? I don't know who's going to stand up on that podium. But I say what we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for a peaceable life. We're going to pray for a quiet and peaceable life in our society with all godliness and honesty. We're going to talk about those things specifically. So what's going to happen? We're just going to keep on loving God. We're going to keep on loving our local church. You know, I tell you what, if you feel like the devil won something here, then your response as the church should not be to pout. Your choice should be to shout with a shout of faith and a shout of praise. When our society grows dark, the church should respond with a roar. Listen, these are going to be the roaring 20s. Boy, they sure have. That roar might be sounding a little different than we expected. But I tell you what, that roar should come from the church in terms of praise and worship and faithfulness. Glory to God. So what's going to happen now? We're going to follow the plan. We're not going to be worried. We're not going to get into fear. Oh, some of you, people get mad at me on both sides of this. Oh, I can't believe he voted for Trump, blah, 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 blah. And then there's other people on the other side. I can't believe he's not saying we should fight. And go. Well, stay with me. Stop looking at it like a disgruntled voter. Stop looking at it as a voter at all. Question two. Where is God in all of this? Like I said, folks, it does not come to a surprise to many of us that the evangelical church in America overwhelmingly supports Donald Trump and believe that God put him there for a purpose. And now there's a lot of confusion. They're all sitting like, why did this happen? Why didn't he overwhelmingly win? Why does it seem like he lost? Why? Where is God in all this? Well, let me answer the question. God is sitting on the throne with Jesus Christ sitting at his right hand forever living to make intercession for us. He is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same Savior. He is the same healer. His word abides forever. It is forever settled in heaven. And we should be counted with those that have decided to be faithful to him, faithful to his word. Listen, there is something worse that could happen than you not getting the president of your choice. And that is if your local church fell, or if your local pastor fell into sin, or if your local church was brought down. But you're in a place where we stand with the faithful. We're not ashamed to shout and praise God. You have a strong church family. You have strong church leadership. We're not ashamed to call sin, sin here. We're not scared to say homosexuality is wrong. We're not ashamed to say that drugging and drinking is wrong. Pornography is wrong. It's sin. We should, live better. We should seek a higher life. Amen. And be grateful that you have a place that is not ashamed to tell the truth. Because with all the deception that's going on in our nation right now, let's be grateful for Bible teaching churches like this that are transparent, that preach the truth. And listen, we're not the only one, and we're not trying to say we are. Amen. Glory to God. So where is God in all of this? He is right where he has always been. Amen. Sitting on the throne with Christ. He's not elected, so no one can vote him out. Glory to God. Jesus is not a president. No one can vote him off that throne. The devil can't get him off. The devil can't shake him, can't move him. He's the Lord of lords, King of kings. But if you're wondering what you can do for this nation, like I said, you can live more sold out for God than you ever have before. If you want to put a stitch in the side of the leftists and the socialists, which, listen, by the way, socialism is nothing short of demonic. Socialism is an attempt to make government God. Government makes a very poor God. Government is not your provider. Government is not your protector. Amen. Don't ever replace God in your life with government. So if you want to put a stitch in the side of the socialists, if you want to put a stitch in the side of the far leftists, well, then I'm telling you what to do. Live for every traditional biblical principle. Because when you live for the Word is the light of God. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't understand it. And when you live for things like, we believe in traditional marriage. Marriage is not between a man and a man. Marriage is between a man and a woman. I believe families should sit down, a mother and a father with the children. They should pray at the dinner table. Amen. They should pray together. They should serve in the local church together. So you want to just go ahead and be a blessing to your nation. Live for the principles of God. Be there to support your local church. Make sure your local church is growing with influence and power, because it bugs them to see when we are not moved. It bugs them to see what we live for. All right. So if you really got to put a stitch in somebody's side, just live for God. Yes, God hasn't gone anywhere. The plan hasn't changed. Our joy never came from election. Remember when I warned you last Sunday? How many of you remember what I said last Sunday? Regardless of what happens, don't you lose your joy. Don't you lose your peace. You might have lost a little bit of sleep. Staying up real late, maybe. But don't you lose your peace and your joy. Don't you lose your confidence. Don't you lose your boldness and your fearlessness. Folks, I understand that a lot of this today isn't a whole lot of teaching, but it is a whole lot of encouragement. All right. Here's the third question that I got this week. How come so many of God's anointed ministers predicted a Trump victory? How come there were so many very well-known TV ministers who prophesied a Trump victory? Now, again, first of all, let me answer that question. We don't know who's ultimately, we can't be 100% sure what this final outcome is going to be. It certainly looks like a Joe Biden victory on the natural, and I'm not denying that. If that's how it is, fair and square, then let's go and let's pray for the man. I'm not sitting here wanting to go to war because my guy didn't win an election. All right? But we don't fully know how this is all going to shake out. And if there's one thing that 2020 has taught us, you don't know what's going to happen next week. You don't know. All right. So I'm saying this as if, you know, you were in a place of discouragement with the election results. But so many Christians, because they felt like, you know, how in the world did so many of these well-known people prophesy a Trump victory when it certainly doesn't appear to be a Trump victory? And why are they doing this? And I'll be honest, I have not seen one well-known evangelical, spirit-filled man or woman of God that I'm aware of that prophesied a Biden victory. I'm not aware of any. You know, so everyone jumped on this idea. And why does that happen? Well, let me say some things here. First, personally, as a pastor, I cringe to my core when I hear ministers prophesying election results. I heard of some ministers, some that I know, some that are very well known, some that are on TV. I watch videos. I'm like, oh my goodness. When I heard them prophesying a Trump victory, I cringed, and I even said to one of my pastor friends, I said, well, this pretty much guarantees that Trump's not going to win. Because the so-called mainline, well-known Pentecostal, men and women of God who have prophesied all these elections in the year past, they're almost always wrong. They're almost always wrong. Say, oh, Pastor, you're shaking my confidence in ministers. No. I'm here to be straight and to be honest and to be transparent and to make no excuses for the body of Christ. If the body of Christ misses it, it's the body of Christ that should call it out. And I don't want you to be discouraged, but I personally cringe when I hear somebody prophesying election results. Because that is not the purpose of a man or woman of God. Why does the people in the body of Christ feel so pressured to predict election results? I can tell you why, because it's great for their TV audience. It's wonderful to tell things that people want to hear. Hold your place in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 13. My wife and I were talking about this, and she pointed out this scripture. And it's the best verse I've seen on this topic. What happens? Why is that happening? Folks, I'm just going to say it straight. If somebody keeps prophesying things that are going to happen and it keeps coming untrue, we shouldn't accept that. See, there's not a prophet in the Bible who survived prophesying false things. In the Bible, when you were a false prophet, you died. Now the body of Christ just says, oh, that's all right. Go get them next time, tiger. Or my personal favorite. Oh, well, the prophecy was correct, but the people didn't vote right. So prophecy was right, but the people didn't vote right. So it's not the... No, no, no. That is a sorry, sad excuse. No, the fact of the matter is, that's false prophecy. It's wrong. And stop feeling the pressure that you got to predict results of elections all the time. Pastor, but I know so-and-so, I know so-and-so. I'm not thinking of any so-and-sos right now. I'm thinking about you and the churches that I'm pastoring, that I don't want people sitting there hanging on every kind of election prophecy. That's why the Bible says that the Word of God is a more sure word. And the body of Christ isn't to be sitting there hoping for election results. We should be sitting there praying for a quiet and peaceable life. Oh, praise the Lord. Ezekiel 13 in verse 1, watch this. This happened in the days of Israel, you know. This happened when prophets were prophesying stuff that they wanted to see happen. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. Well, that's interesting. Prophesy against the prophesiers. He says, and say you unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. What's happening? If we're not careful, we'll be led by church leadership that prophesies their own preferences out of their own heart, out of their own spirit, and not with the Spirit of God. I have to be honest, I've heard many prophecies that fit that description. I've heard many super well-known, endorsed, and beloved televangelists who prophesy stuff, and you hear it, and you're like, that's their preference. You can hear it. You can sense it. You know the Spirit of God is grieved on the inside. You can hear that's what they want to happen. Prophecy isn't what we don't prophesy what we want. We don't prophesy what people want to hear. We prophesy by the Word and the Spirit of God. And if the unction of the Holy Ghost is not there, then keep your mouth shut. Listen, if we find out, listen, I am saying some of these things assuming that they were wrong. Listen, I don't know that they were wrong yet. Hey, we get to January 20th and this thing is overturned and we say, well, praise the Lord, the prophecy was right. I'm just answering the question, why does it seem sometimes that all of these well-known people on TV, these ministers, they prophesy stuff that doesn't come to pass? I'm here to explain it to you biblically, that we have a lot of people in this land who are famous. They have used their, you know, Christian platform to say things that they know people want to hear. My hope was never found in a prophecy. You understand that? When it comes to a presidential election, I heard the opposite. So-and-so called me and said, hey, this minister said such and such about the election. I said, oh, great. Well, we know it's going to go bad then. Then we know it ain't going to go the way we want it then. But what do you mean? They prophesied this. They prophesied that. Yeah, it's usually the first indicator that things are going to go south. Pastor, you're against prophesying. No, I'm not. I am for prophecy that puts character and integrity and truth at the front, and not just stuff that makes people feel good. If you hear a prophecy coming out of this place, it better be checked, double checked. Listen, any prophecy you ever hear, it's got to be put against the litmus test of the Word of God. Don't just try, oh, so-and-so said this, so I don't have to pray for the election anymore. Yeah, right. That's foolish. God dealt with Israel when they were doing that. He said, woe to these prophets that prophesy out of their own spirit, but they have seen nothing from the Spirit of God. Listen, when I haven't seen something by the Spirit of God, I tell you, I told you leading up to this election, I had nothing as far as who was going to win it. All I knew is I was going to keep my peace. Amen. I had some things about 2016, but you know why? I didn't stand up and prophesy them. There's things I said to my wife and some others that the Lord showed me when I was here one night praying, and it came to pass exactly what the Lord said. But guess what? I didn't stand up here, you know, and just start blaring it out to try to bring attention to myself. I had some things about, I remember back in 2012, every man of God knew that they knew the election result, and yet I woke up that morning, and I just had a sense. I didn't even have a vision or anything. I knew what was going to happen. I said nothing. Said nothing. This time around, I didn't know either way. And to be honest, I still don't, as far as when January 20th comes. And it's okay for a man or woman of God to say, I have no personal revelation about it. But they have this pressure to tell everybody the future. Listen, don't you allow stuff like that. Like I was saying, we should look inward to change our character and not be looking for the prophecy of election results. Getting some help out of this? All right, now let's get to our instructions here. Three quick instructions, and again, this is going to be easy. Now go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and now we're going to go through those things real quickly here of what we do going forward. What do we do going forward? Listen, God is on the throne. His word abides forever. God has seen the coming and the going of president after president. When President Trump is gone, when Joe Biden is gone, when their predecessors are gone, the word of God will still abide. God has seen kings, both good and evil, rise and fall. God has seen kingdoms, both good and evil, rise and fall. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. It's going to set tomorrow. We're going to live in the goodness of God in the land of the living. We have a certain word. We know we're already on the winning side. Jesus can't be voted off the throne. Amen. So we have a lot to be encouraged about. I tell you what, if anything, this doesn't shake me. It just stirs me up more to lead this church into the greatest year we have ever had in 2021. Folks, we know at the beginning of this year, we had 150 people gathering on our Wednesday nights to pray together. We're going to charge right back into that. Amen. We are going to open all of our ministries again. We are going to fuel the plan of God the best we can here at Family Church. Amen. But we better be praying for these individuals in office. All right, number one assignment there. You're in 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and those that are in civic authority. So number one instruction moving forward is what I've already been talking about. Pray for those in civic authority, and if you don't, you are selfish. Because it's not about you, and it's not even about those politicians, though they are certainly included. It's about, ultimately, the harvest of souls. You're praying for political folks that are in office. You are supplicating for them. You are requesting. Lord, lead them. I request. Folks, I'm going to say something that could shock some of you. If Joe Biden is our president come January 20th, I am rooting for him. One of the greatest deceptions in the body of Christ is that we hope that our not choice, you know, our opposition, so to speak, or the one we didn't vote for, we sit there and we hope that they fail. Listen, if you supported Donald Trump and if he's no longer the president come January 20th, you know that there were half of this nation sat there every day hoping that he failed, making up fake stories about Russia, perpetrating a hoax of an impeachment, perpetrating these lies and deceptions. Don't you play that game. I'm gonna be a better man than that far left nonsense. They might have hated the president that I supported, but guess what? I'm gonna love the president they supported. I am gonna hope that Joe Biden is successful for our country. I'm gonna hope that he makes decisions that betters this country. Hey, I hope he builds a stronger economy. Good luck with that. I hope he does. And we know the media is going to say probably in just a few days he's going to personally cure coronavirus in his basement or something. I hope that it's true. Do it, Joe. Do it. Go. Go. Do it. Solve all of our problems. Hey, if there's more jobs, if there's more people having success, if it just is better for this nation, I'm rooting. I'm here to support that. I'm not going to live every day waking up saying, did Joe Biden fail today? Well, how can we attack him? How can we bring him down? I want to bring down our president. I want our president to be successful. And I said this when Obama became our president, and I did not like it. I said, you know what? I've got to wait and see what he does. I don't want to judge him before he even makes an action in that office. Let's root for him. Come on. I started seeing some things he's doing okay. And then as day went on, I went, oh. He did some very evil things. When he took the White House and ordered it to be lit with rainbow colors to support same-sex marriage in our nation, we knew we were dealing with a man who did not want to support godly principles. People hear that and they say, oh my goodness, that pastor is against gays. I'm not against gays. I'm trying to warn them that sin will condemn them for eternity. And there is this gracious, loving, forgiving God that we all have to approach with our sin, whether it's lying or cheating or drunkenness or homosexuality or, you know, heterosexual sin, whatever it is, we all go before this God and say, Father, forgive us and wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. There is hope for every sinner, gays included. So when people try to call me a hater, they're lying. I'm not a hater. You know, I'm just willing to be honest and warn them of things that are to come. I told you this is going to be a very different service today. And by the way, this will be the only political style sermon you're going to get. I'm not doing this next week. I'm not doing it the week after. You know, and if something really crazy happens within our society, if I have to address it, I will. But just so you understand, your role as a believer, it's not the same as your role as a voter. All right. We have to pray for those. Amen. We know this. We have to intercede for them. All right, we have to pray for their protection and wisdom. We have to pray that their decisions are effective. We have to root for them because we're rooting for them because we root for this nation. There will be a lot of temptations that are going to come against Joe Biden and Donald Trump over these next several weeks. And if Joe Biden indeed is our next president, there's going to be such huge temptations upon him to make decisions that would hurt and destroy this nation more than ever before. There's going to be a temptation upon him to give in to progressive ideas, to give in to socialist ideas, even though he himself really truly is not. I don't believe he is a progressive. I don't believe that he himself is a socialist. But the people that he has surrounded himself with, they certainly are. There's going to be a temptation to do things against the Constitution of the United States. We need to pray for Joe Biden, if he's the next president, that he would have the power and the strength to stand up to those temptations that he knows is wrong. You know what? And that same would go for Donald Trump as well. We know that Donald Trump right now must be having the craziest thoughts that are going through his mind. He must be tempted. He is the sitting president. He is sitting there right now with 70% support of our military. He is sitting there thinking, I lost unfairly. I'm going to stay in office. I'm going to do this. I'm going to fight. I'm going to win at all costs. Now, I know he said differently just yesterday. But there's a temptation upon Donald Trump that if he does not win, he could tear a gaping hole into the fabric of our society. And I'll tell you what, if it's fair and square and Joe Biden won fair and square, then Donald Trump, you got to leave. You got to go. And you got to go peaceably and quietly. Now, if he wants to campaign after he's out of office, I'm talking about he's got to leave that White House and he's got to go, and he should be a bigger man and do so with integrity and not buffoonery. If you lost fair and square, Trump, then go. Say, well, Pastor, you're such a big supporter. No, no, no. I'm a supporter of this nation. I'm a supporter of this God and of our God. And if this president, you know, tries to unfairly and unjustly remain in power, that's a problem. And we know that the temptations are upon him to do so. We need to be praying for him right now. Father, lead President Trump in the right decisions. All right? Now, if there is something that took place during this election that was illegal, it should come to light. Plain and simple. But if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And then bye-bye Trump. And then hello Joe Biden. And then Joe Biden will get my prayers every day as my president. And I will seek his wisdom, meaning I will seek wisdom for him. I will thank God for him. I have literally had to really watch my words when it comes to, you know, politics within New York State. Listen, we've got a lot of problems here. You know, and it's very easy to say things that are wrong. But we should be thankful for those that are in political power, even if they're doing wrong, because like I said, there is something worse than bad government, and that's no government. We need law and order in this nation. Pray for those that are in civic authority. Pray that their decisions would be effective. Pray that they would succeed if it's God's, if they are making decisions that are appropriate. Thank God on their behalf. Act against your emotions. Act against your feelings. Pray for them. Church, are you going to do this? I'll tell you what, there's a lot more at stake than just your guy staying in or not. Our nation is at stake. We got to pray for Biden. There's going to be huge temptation on him to hand the presidency over to his vice president-elect. Folks, I am not here saying what I'm saying because she's a woman. I think I know a lot of women that would make great presidents. I'm not against a black or an ethnic president or a black ethnic woman vice president, not at all. Don't throw the race card or the gender card, because I don't play that game. That woman's policies and her political histories tell us that she would absolutely steer this country into a disgusting, progressive, socialist agenda, and it cannot happen. And it certainly cannot happen on our watch. Say, well, Pastor, what about this? What about that? You know, believe me, if Donald Trump was doing those things, I'd be the first to call it out. I don't belong to a political party. Amen. Pray for him. There's going to be extreme pressure placed on these men, especially in these next few weeks, in these next couple of months. Are you going to do it, church? I don't know. You don't sound too convincing to me right now. Are you going to do it, church? All right, praise the Lord. Here's the second thing, and we're going to move quickly with these last two. I've already said it, a peaceable life. We should be praying that we have peace instead of praying that somebody wins. Praying for peace in our nation. Here's the thing that we've got to understand. Here's the big mistake that so many Christians are making with praying for political officers. What they're doing is they're praying for their preference. It's wrong to pray that somebody wins. Boy, that went over well. To say, Lord, I pray that Donald Trump would win. I just pray that this, or the other way, I pray that Joe Biden would win. Please, pretty, please pray for their victory. Pray for their victory. I want them to win. You're selfish. See, the scripture said, pray for them. All right, pray for them personally. Don't pray your preference. Don't pray who you want to win. Pray for Joe Biden like you love him. Pray for Donald Trump like you love him. Meaning, what that means is, Father God, I pray. I pray for this man. I pray for his wisdom. Father, I pray that you would give him strength. Folks, I'm going to be real honest, and I'm not saying this to make fun of somebody. Joe Biden needs prayer for stamina and strength because he did not demonstrate it during this campaign. He was hidden away. If you can't stand on the platform and deliver a speech every day, how are you going to handle world leaders like the president of China and the president of Russia? We need to pray that that man, if he does become president, that he has strength and stamina, that he can stand up to evil forces in this world and not give in to them. If you say, well, I just hope he fails. Well, if he fails, our nation fails. Peaceable life. Amen. Folks, we have to also pray, if in the unlikelihood, it may seem unlikely, but if the courts took this election and overturned it to Donald Trump, there might be something all on the inside of us that go, yoo-hoo! But if we know what would happen, if that does happen, it's going to happen. Our cities would burn. Riots would ensue, chaos. People would lose their lives. They would lose their businesses. Now, we don't allow our nation to be held at ransom by rioters. Truth is truth. But I'm just saying, we need to be praying ahead of time for that contingency. If in the possibility that this thing is overturned and Trump remains in office, we got to pray for peace. Because lives are at stake. We do not want riots and chaos in our cities to burn. It makes our nation look weak. That is not God's plan. And here's third and here's final. So number one, remember, we pray for those who are in civic authority. Two, we're praying for peaceable, quiet and peaceable life. And the third thing, honesty. The heart of God is always to bring truth out of the darkness. Honesty. Folks, let me say some things that's going to probably make somebody mad, but that's not the reason why I'm saying it. I'm going to say this, that in this nation right now and in this election, there was more deception and lies that took place than at ever any time before in our nation. Not just this election, but this whole year. There has been nothing but lies, deception, political lies, media lies, things being hidden, things being censored, things being canceled, truth being suppressed. For the first time in our nation's history, we just sent blanketed, covered the land with mail-in ballots with no accountability. That has never happened. You say, well, what do you mean? We've done absentee votes. No. What happened was not the same as absentee voting. Absentee voting is when someone says, hey, I need to vote because I'm not going to be home on election day. And then the state says, oh, really? Well, give us a good reason why you need an absentee vote. And then once they believe that your reason is good and valid, they send you an absentee ballot. All right? But this nation sent out 80 million unsolicited ballots. Unsolicited in the sense that 9 states in America mailed out ballots to every registered voter in their state, regardless of any of accountability. 9 of them did that. 35 states did that only with the simple request that if you simply said you wanted to vote by mail because of coronavirus, then they blanket mailed you a ballot. So now you have 4 states out of 50, 88% of our nation received votes in the mail that are completely unaccounted. No accountability. That was the first time ever happened in our nation. You saw the sitting president receive more in-person votes, than ever has happened in the history of our country, and yet he still lost. Okay, these are not sour grapes from somebody that voted for the president. I'm making the point that if there was ever an opportunity for deception and distrust and fraud to take place in our election process, it was this time around. God wants us to have an honest society. Honest society. I am not crying foul. I don't know if there was fraud or not. I just know that the opportunity for it was there. If we're not careful, America will go down the road as all the other corrupt nations that their societies fell. We will become no better than the banana republics of Central America. You know what a banana republic is? That is a term that describes those small nations of Central America that have so much corruption in their government. They do mail-in voting, all these things, and two parties clash in war, and then their society falls. And then someone clashes and rises to power, and they fight, and they have distrusted elections, and then society falls again. One of the hallmarks of America is that we've been able to trust our election process. Win, lose, or draw for your guy. I don't care. It just has to be fair. If, and I'm saying if because I don't know if it happened or not, but if there was massive fraud, massive dishonest voting in our nation, it needs to be prayed into the light. Say, Pastor, you're saying that because you want your guy to win. No, I'm not. I want our election process to be trusted for decades to come. Because if we no longer trust our process, what are we going to do? Go through this every 4 years? How many of these kind of elections can we handle before we erupt into a civil war? How many elections like this could we handle before our society becomes irreparable? We want truth. I don't care if it means if the truth is my guy lost, then bye-bye to my guy. Boy, that sounded weird to say publicly, right? if Donald Trump lost fair, I'll be the first to say on January 19th, get out of the White House. Get out. You lost. There's winners and losers all the time. You may have built your reputation on winning, but if you didn't win this time, get out. And Joe Biden's the guy that's going to get my prayer as president. You see what I'm saying? But if something shady and illegal took place, it should be the heart cry of every American, especially the church, that the truth would come out of the darkness and be known. So not only am I praying for those in civic authority, I'm praying for a quiet and peaceable life. I'm praying that, you know, if there were any evil done. Remember what David cried out? What was that? Psalm 139? What did he say? He said, lead me, if there be any wicked way in me, show me and lead me into the way everlasting. Lord, if there is some wicked way that was perpetrated, if there was any agenda of evil or falsehood, then Lord, I pray that it would come to light. And it would come peaceably to light. See, I'm not praying that for the hopes that my guy would get in. I'm saying that because as a nation, for longevity, we need to know every time there's an election that we can depend on the result. Because every other nation that has lost control of an honest society, every nation that has lost control of an honest election process, they crumble. Folks, I went to Brazil back in 2019, and I spent time there in Rio de Janeiro and talked with a lot of people. And the stuff that they told me about their political system there, they're like, we just don't know every year what's going to happen. You know, this politician is paying for votes. They do this mail-in stuff. They do this stuff. All the election process is so untrusted. It's always so corrupted. It's too bad because that nation has such great potential. It could be a powerhouse on the world scene, but you know why it's not? Because their election process is so corrupt. That will happen to our nation if we don't have an honest society. And if the church in America does not pray for these things, that could spin out of control, and it would spin out of control in our watch. So here's your instructions. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for Joe Biden. Pray for those that are in civic authority. Pray with all of your heart that there's a peaceable society in this nation. And three, regardless who you vote for, pray that dishonesty would, you know, come out of the darkness and be held accountable, that things should be brought to light in our nation, because our nation cannot handle any more elections like this. I don't care if it's the guy I preferred or the guy I didn't prefer. We can't handle any more like this. We need to be praying for Donald Trump. If he lost fair and square, he's in a position right now to have a lot of temptations to do wrong things that could really hurt this country. Really hurt this country. I don't believe he's going to make those decisions. I don't believe he will, because we're going to be praying for him. And if Joe Biden becomes a president, we better be praying for him that he has that strength and stamina and that courage to stand up against all those far left ideas that are going to be thrown at him. Folks, this is our assignment, not as voters, but as believers. Be encouraged, everybody, regardless of who you voted for. All right. Right now, we know we have an extremely divided nation. You have almost 72 million voters right now who are feeling very disgusted. All right. Whether that's justified or unjustified, I'm not here to comment on that. We had the most in-person votes ever for a sitting president. And yet they feel like the system let them down. We need to pray that they will remain peaceful. All right? That they would remain supportive of our country, that they wouldn't divide this nation like their opposition has. Folks, if you're sitting here today and you don't care about this stuff, you're selfish. You say, I don't care about politics. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking as your responsibility as a believer. Did you get some help here today? I tell you what, we are going to charge into 2021. I mean, we've already got a full church on our hand. We have another probably 30 or 40 people in our drive-in service. We've got a full church on our hand. We're going to continue to grow in the power and the strength of God's Word and His Spirit. We're going to pray more in 2021. We are not going to have a repeat of 2020. Praise the Lord. We're going to have the best year yet. We're going to support those that are in office. We're going to pray for the success of our nation and the freedoms of our nation. Folks, stay the course. Nothing has changed. God hasn't left the throne. Jesus is still there. He is still the King. He is still the Lord. We have everything to praise and to be very joyful about. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? All right, well, let's pray as we get ready to dismiss. Father God, we love you and praise you. Lord, we know that these are very interesting times. And Father, we know that today was a very different kind of service, things that we hardly ever talk about. But Father, we're here to talk about them through the eyes of a believer, not through the eyes of a voter. Lord, we know that most, not all, but most of your people in this nation supported our current president. And Lord, we know that there's a lot of temptation out there to be discouraged, worried. Some are just downright frantic and caught and lost in fear. And Father, that's not us. Lord Jesus, you are the rock. You are the firm foundation. You are the chief cornerstone. And Lord, we don't have to be worried about a thing. Father, we can put our prayer supply to work for anyone who's in office, whether we preferred them or not. That's our job as a church. That's our role. That's our heart. Father, we cry out for those that are in civic authority. Father, right now we pray for Donald Trump as our current president. Father, we pray that you'd lead him with wisdom and righteousness. Father, we pray that you would help him make the right decisions in these weeks to come. Father, we pray for Joe Biden, that, Lord, that you'd give him strength. That, Lord, that you'd give him health. Father, that you'd give him long life. That, Lord, that indeed if he becomes the next sitting president of the United States, we pray that he would make successful decisions for our nation. Father, we're not going to judge the man before he's ever even in the office. Father, we pray for all of our congressmen and women. We pray for all of our senators, Democrat or Republican. We pray for them. Because, Lord, we know that the harvest is at stake. And, Lord, we just give you the praise and glory. And, Lord, we know that we said a lot of things today that can make people upset, though that certainly is not our goal. We say them because of the truth. And, Father, we pray in our nation that we would have a quiet and peaceable life. Father, we pray that in the perhaps unlikely event of Donald Trump remaining in office, Father, we pray that our cities wouldn't burn. We pray that there would be peace in this nation, regardless of what happens. Father, if there was any evil deeds done in secret, if there were lies and deception perpetrated in this election, Father God, we pray that those things would be brought to the light. We don't pray for our preference, we pray for truth. And so, Lord, we glorify you and we praise you. Father, we pray for the pulpits in America, that they would speak and prophesy with truth and accuracy, so that the sheep, so that their faith and their confidence would not be hurt and destroyed. Father, we love you, we praise you, we know that the path of the righteous goes brighter and brighter under the perfect day. We know your word says we go from glory to glory, and we will not be discouraged or dismayed. Father, we're going to enjoy our day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. Thank you, Father. Your word is eternally, forever settled in heaven. And Father, we would have fainted and quit unless we believed that we would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Thank you, Father. With all eyes closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if I were to die today, if I'd be in heaven or hell. Or maybe you're sitting here saying, I don't know if I've ever made Jesus my Lord. I've tried to be a good person, but being a good person is not what gets you into heaven. What grants you eternal life is a faith that Christ died and rose again for you, and that you personally embrace him as your Lord and Savior. So if that's you today and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to point you out and send you off to talk with church leaders or bring you up here or anything like that. But if you're here and say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. No one's looking around except for me. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to know that heaven is my home. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? God loves you. I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. God loves you so much. He's got a plan for our lives. Listen, I can tell you, no matter who is in that White House, their plan pales in comparison to our Heavenly Father's plan. Is there anybody else before we pray that would say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my heart? I have some glare. That's why I'm lifting my hand. Is there anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me? Well, we did have a couple of hands. So I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. We all are going to pray this, so you can sit there right in your seat. Pray these words out of your mouth. Speak them sincerely to God. He will hear you. And maybe you didn't lift your hand because, you know, maybe you're new in church, or maybe this is your first time here and you think, I have no idea what they're going to do if I lift my hand. Well, I promise you, I'm not here to point you out and make a spectacle. It was just a motion to take a step towards God. But even if you didn't lift your hand and you want to pray this with all your heart, God will hear you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's stand to our feet. Folks, just